welcome to the Poem of the Week. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. Ready for another poem?
Absolutely.
Okay. This week we're going to look at spinal stenosis. Usually refers to one of the following anatomic conditions, either a narrowing of the intraspinal canal, a narrowing of the lateral recess, or a narrowing of the neuronal foramen. By way of background, five lumbar vertebrae, L1 through 5, comprise the lumbar spine. The sacrum is made up of S1 through 5, and then it leads to the coccyx down there at the southernmost exposure. The spinal cord terminates at the conus medullaris within the spinal interspinal canal between T12 and L2. What happens is all lumbar and sacral spinal nerve roots are constituted at the T10 through L1 vertebral level. It's here where the roots then course down through the intraspinal canal, forming the quadra equina, until they exit at their respective neuronal foramina. Now, this condition, specifically lumbar spinal stenosis, can be very worrisome. It's often associated with degenerative arthritis of the spine. In fact, it's the most common cause of lumbar spinal stenosis. The neurologic exam is often normal in patients with lumbar spinal stenosis. The straight leg raising test is present only in a very small minority of patients, about 10%. However, in some patients with spinal stenosis, more prolonged or severe nerve root involvement can lead to fixed or intermittent neurologic defects. Again, this is quite rare. So the question is, how do we diagnose lumbar spinal stenosis? And this is an article, this week's poem, taken from JAMA, and it attempts to answer the question, what are the clinical signs and symptoms that are useful in diagnosis of lumbar spinal stenosis? Mark, what did this very helpful article find?
Yeah, this was a systematic review. It's part of the series called the Rational Clinical Exam in JAMA, which is a great series. They've done a really good job over the years in summarizing the evidence. And they did a very careful review of the literature, tried to identify the best available studies on this topic. And yeah, it is a tough diagnosis to make and to sort it out from, you know, other causes of back pain. They included any study that had a clearly described index test. The index test is the sign or symptom that you're trying to evaluate, and used a good reference standard. And at a minimum, they had to have the impression of an expert clinician plus some sort of imaging, radiographic or anatomical evidence of spinal cord narrowing. They had a couple of people review each study, and after that whole process, they ended up with four studies and 741 patients. So not a lot out there in the literature. But what they did find, I think, was really useful.
So what you're describing then is the gold standard, is the imaging study, right?
Is the expert plus imaging.
Are there people that are going to have lumbar stenosis that are not going to be able to be picked up with an MRI or some sort of radiologic imaging?
Yeah, I don't know. That's one of the challenges with this diagnosis is what is the best reference standard? Mm. And, you know, I think it's reasonable to have, you know, an expert looking at the MRI and saying yes or no it is, or this group of symptoms plus these imaging findings make up what we call spinal stenosis. But you're right, it's that's been one of the challenges in this whole literature.
Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt. Go on.
That's okay. And so the likelihood of stenosis increases with age. We're going to talk in terms of likelihood ratios. And a likelihood ratio of 1 means that a sign or a symptom provided no useful information. And if it's less than 1, the more it's less than 1, the more it rules out. And the more it's above 1, the more it rules in. And generally, likelihood ratios that are above 5 are good, and above 10 are great in terms of how strongly they rule in a symptom. Now, most of the ones we're going to talk about here were between 6 and 7, which is good, in the good to very good range. So when these things were present, they increase significantly the likelihood of lumbar spinal stenosis. The factors that increased the risk were age over 70 years. That was less helpful, actually. That was likelihood ratio of 2.0. Having no pain when seated was important. Having unexpected urinary problems. Relief of symptoms when bending forward. bilateral buttock or leg pain, neurogenic claudication, and a burning sensation around the buttocks or priapism with walking. The most useful symptoms for ruling out stenosis were age under 60 years, which had a negative likelihood ratio of 0.4, or the absence of neurogenic claudication, which was a likelihood ratio of 0.23. Those were the items from the history. On a physical exam, a wide-based gait had a very strong positive likelihood ratio of 13, and an abnormal Romberg test was also somewhat helpful. And those were both helpful when present at ruling in lumbar spinal stenosis. So the bottom line is there are some elements of the history and physical exam that can help us to diagnose stenosis. Most importantly, if you see someone who doesn't have pain when seated, who gets relief when bending forward, who has neurogenic claudication and burning in their buttocks or pain with walking and a wide-based gait, those should all trigger investigation for stenosis.
Mark, once we get to a physical exam and our likelihood of having spinal stenosis is real and we want to move forward, what's the recommended imaging tests to help confirm the diagnosis?
Yeah, generally you'd want to get an MRI or possibly EMG with nerve conduction studies. Those would be the next recommended tests. Most people would probably get an MRI because of the additional anatomic information that you get.
Well, good. Thanks. I am a huge fan of this JAMA Rational Physical Exam series, and we use it for the medical students. Thanks, Mark.
And they have a book, too, and we'll plug their book for them, but they have a book that collects a lot of these as well. Useful reference.
We'll talk with you again next week.
All right. Sounds good.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.